be here. I know I always tell you that. I know that that I always say this is one of my favorite places to be. And the reason that I say that is because it is. This is one of my favorite places to be. Why? Because I have brothers and sisters in Christ in this room who encourage me, who tell me stories about what's happening in their life, and it pushes me forward to want to know Christ more. Right? Is that okay? Is everybody okay with that? I hope. We've been walking through James, right? And we've been looking at a lot of passages in James, and some of them are really difficult and some of them are hard. And I'm going to say the reason that I think that they're difficult for us is because a lot of times we want to say we're something, but we don't really want to show we're something by our actions, right? Does that make sense? Like, we want to say I'm a Christian, we want to say I believe in God, but we don't really show it by our lives. We don't really, you know, like, we come to church, we show up on Sundays, we open our Bible for you know, this worship time, and then we leave this place and we talk to our families in terrible ways. We talk to our friends in terrible ways. We talk to our coworkers in terrible ways. Our life just has no real fruit of what we say is true in here on Sunday mornings, right? And that's difficult, right? And I think that probably everybody in this room, at least myself, I can raise my hand and I can say that's me. Because I have moments during the week where it's hard to live out what this says, right? This is difficult. It's not easy. It's not a cakewalk. It's not something that just comes naturally to us as humans, because this goes against what my desires are. Does that make sense? This is totally different than my desires. But when I ask God to come into my life, then I'm trying to substitute my desires for His desires for my life, right? And I want His desires to outweigh my desires. And I want to grow in that more. I want to grow in that more. And so, you know, we read a couple of weeks ago, and this is kind of the tagline there, but faith without works is dead, right? So we can say one thing, but if we're not actually living it out, then it's just words, right? It's for lack of a better phrase, it's just nonsense what we're saying. If our life doesn't back up what we say is true, then it's just nonsense. There's kind of that old tagline, the proof is in the pudding or something, right? Like if we really believe this, then our life is going to look different than the world. Our life is going to be different. So we are going to be in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. So you can go ahead and get there. But we've been walking through verse by verse in James, and we've just been discussing what the Scripture has to tell us, what the Scripture has to say. And last week we talked a lot about the tongue, right? And how powerful it is, right? Does anybody remember that? Does anybody have trouble or difficulty controlling their tongue? Anybody else in this room or just me? A couple of people. Thank you. I'm glad that we're on the same page. It's difficult to control this part. This part can change who we are. We can build somebody up or we can tear somebody down really quickly with the words that come out of our mouth, right? We can change a situation, we can change attitude, we can do all kind of things with our tongue if we're not careful to keep it bridled and engaged, right? It says that all types of things in this world can be tamed by the human, right? We've tamed all beasts, we've tamed everything, but we cannot tame this small muscle that's in our mouth, right? We say dumb things, we do dumb things, but it all flows from here, right? We hurt people. That passage talks about how we proclaim God as being who He is, and then with that same tongue we tear people down. That's difficult, right? That's hard. That's hard to get an understanding of. That's hard to grasp. But we're gonna be taking a step further, and we're gonna be talking about something that is a little more difficult. And I've got just a quick synopsis here, but my section of Scripture says wisdom from above here, okay? So we're going to be talking about wisdom. We're going to be talking about what does wisdom look like. We're going to be talking about what do we show wisdom as versus what does God show wisdom as, right? And so I'm going to share real quickly. I did a lot of searching, like on the internet, books, looking for a good definition of wisdom, okay? But I couldn't really find one, okay? I couldn't find one. Most of the definitions seemed really circular to me, like wisdom is the quest to find knowledge. Okay, well, what is knowledge? How do I find that? How do I gain that? How do I get that? But when I was reading through a lot of these definitions that the world is talking about what wisdom looks like, there's really no definition. There's really no understanding of what wisdom is. It the quest for knowledge, the ability to obtain more information. It was things like that. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? And we're in this world where we have information thrown at us all the time, right? Like we could be talking to somebody, and while we're talking to them, they could have this thing out, like proof texting exactly what we're saying, right? Has that ever happened to anybody in this room? Has anybody ever done that to anybody in this room? No, that's the wrong date. It was 1643. You're wrong, right? Like, I don't know what that year was. I just made that up. But that's what we do to people, right? We think we have this understanding of knowledge because we've got this computer in our pocket that we can correct somebody or tell somebody that they're wrong and we're right, right? And that's, I'm going to just start at the beginning. That's not what wisdom is. But that's what we think it is. That's what this world thinks it is. And in this world, we have these weird moments, and maybe weird isn't even the right word, but where we think if we're right, if I can be louder and more demonstrative, then that means the other person is more wrong, right? Does that make sense? So we had, I think I shared a little bit with you. A few months ago, we had the opportunity, we were in another state. I'm not going to go into a lot of details because I don't want to make it something it's not. But we were in a, it was a really important key moment in America's history a few months ago, and we were in this really kind of important place where there's a lot of important people in the United States, and their people are talking to each other, and like you have kind of two different parties talking to people, and what they're doing to each other is not really talking. There's not really an understanding of what's happening. People are holding signs and they're yelling at you if you think one thing. And then the other people, they're holding signs and they're yelling back at you. And so we feel like in our culture that the louder that I can be, the more demonstrative I am, the more wrong that makes somebody else. And so here's what we'll do. We'll walk to, let's just pretend this is me and Joe, okay? And Joe's yelling his side, and I'm yelling my side, and he's yelling his side, and I'm yelling, and then we both walk away and go, I showed him, right? That's kind of how our culture lives. That's how we survive in this day and time. We walk around with phrases like, my truth, right? My truth. That's my truth. You don't tell me, right? And we get a little angry. We get upset. And where is truth found? It's here. My doesn't really matter to here. My thought process, my point, my desires don't really coincide with what is found in here. So if we are believers, if this is the place that we want to be, if we've asked Jesus to come into our heart, then we need to step aside from that talk. We need to step aside from that nonsense talk, and we need to say, what does Jesus tell me wisdom is? What does Scripture say wisdom looks like? Does it mean that I'm just louder and I can talk? Because I can talk pretty loud. I don't know if y'all know that about me, but I can talk loudly. But just because I can talk louder than somebody doesn't really make me right. Just because I can be more aggressive doesn't make me right. Right? You've all seen like dumb videos on the where like people are getting, they're having a conversation and they're getting more amped up and more amped up, and then they're in a fist fight over just because their attitude is leading what's going on. Right? Does that make sense? Our culture is crazy in the way that we view things, for lack of a better word. We are fools in our understanding of knowledge. We are fools, all of us in this room. And Scripture tells us that without God, without Jesus, we really don't understand what that means. Only through him can we get that understanding. So I want to read real quick in James chapter 3, 13 through 16. Let's just read this really quickly and hear kind of what it has to say. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." There will be disorder and every vile practice. So if we don't really understand wisdom, just to make this real clear at the beginning, it says there will be disorder and every vile practice. Does anybody see those things in our culture? Anybody? It's everywhere. Why? Because there is no wisdom being imparted to this world. There is no thought process. There's no understanding of what wisdom is or what wisdom looks like. So how do we find wisdom? Where do we look to understand wisdom? Where do we gain that understanding at? Where do we see it? In our culture, we go to politicians, right? They're all wise, right? We go to professors. They're super wise, right? That's why they're teaching people, because they're incredibly brilliant. They're incredibly smart. We go to leaders, right? We go to world leaders. We go to people who run businesses. We go to people who are influencers, right? On social media. We go to all kinds of people for wisdom, and we're getting their understanding. We're getting their thought process, and we're missing the mark of where true wisdom lies. We are living in a world where jealousy and selfish ambition exist. There will be disorder and every vile practice. Is that not rampant in our society? Is that not everywhere that we turn around? Is it that people are self-seeking? People are wanting their own thing? Who do we go to for wisdom? We go to somebody who's got a lot of money. Well, what does that mean? That doesn't mean money is bad. But that doesn't necessarily make that person wise, right? We go to somebody who's got a lot of letters after their name, right? PhD or whatever. Does that necessarily mean that person? No, that's not what it means. But it's who we look to for wisdom. Where do we see it? Most of the things that came up said that we value psychologists above everybody for wisdom. Well, there's a lot of psychology out there that doesn't really jive with what this says, right? It's not really in tune with what this says. And so we're searching and we're after this, and we want to know more, we want to understand more, but this says something different. So I'm gonna share a real quick story, and it's not about one of my children in particular. It's more about all of my children in particular. So you can point to all four of them. But if you've ever been around anybody in this world, and it's not just my children, it's everybody in this world. Have you ever tried to tell somebody, this drives me absolutely bananas, okay? Have you ever tried to tell somebody something and they give you a response that just infuriates you? I think I heard Butch laugh there. I don't know who that was, but maybe that was Chris. I don't know. Here, this drives me crazier than anything. So if you want to see me like go Incredible Hulk in a hurry, this is it. If I'm telling you something and you look at me and go, "I know," I mean, that just burns me to my core. I mean, drives me bananas. So like picture this, if you will. I'll give you a quick example. Hey, take the trash out. "I know." Like that happens in my home occasionally. Well, if you know, you would have done it, right? And I have flames coming out of my eyes, and it drives me bananas. Why? Because not that I'm super smart, not any of that, but that's how our world lives, right? We can't receive anything without putting ourselves in that place of knowledge, right? We sit here and we think that we know, and because of that, that's what leads to the bottom half of those verses, because we don't want anybody to correct us. We don't want anybody to teach us. We don't want anybody to train us what wisdom actually looks like. We want to know. And we assume in that knowledge that we know. And so I'm gonna real quick, when we do that, has anybody ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand, I'll raise mine. So you know that I've done it, right? So like Chris has told me something, or my mom has told me something, and I've said, I know. What am I doing when I do that? I'm putting myself in the place of authority, right? I'm putting myself in the place of knowledge. I'm putting myself in the place of being the one who imparts wisdom. That's what I'm doing. And so when my life is different than this, here's the ultimate thing that I'm doing. I'm putting myself in the place of God. When I say I know to Scripture, when I say I know, I don't really care about that. I don't really care about your wisdom. I don't really care about your knowledge. I don't care about any of that. I don't care what this. I'm putting myself in my own lordship, right? Does that make sense? When I know, when I have the truth, when I have the wisdom, I'm saying I know more than you. I'm wiser than you. And none of us in this room are wiser than God. But this is what we do. This is how we live our life. This is how our culture lives our lives. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So when we're talking about this, James, he's talking to a Jewish audience, and there's an understanding of what wisdom, where wisdom comes from and what wisdom looks like. They had an understanding. We don't, okay? Because we didn't grow up in their culture, right? We didn't grow up in that place. We didn't grow up in that time. So where can we find wisdom that he's talking about here? Where can we find wisdom that shows good conduct? Where can we find the opposite of that? And if you look back in Proverbs or Psalms or Job or Ecclesiastes, all of those books in that region right there of Scripture, they teach us about wisdom. They teach us about truth. They teach us about godly wisdom. And if you look, well, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read a lot out of Ecclesiastes in just a second, chapter 2. I want to read just a few things that Solomon is saying about wisdom and where he thinks wisdom came from and his pursuit of wisdom and what it led to and his pursuits. He sums it up at the end to say it's all vanity, right? It's all like chasing the wind. Every bit of my pursuit is like chasing the wind. So we're here in this world and we're trying to find wisdom. We're trying to see what it looks like. We're trying to understand what it means. And this is what Solomon is saying it is not. And he says, I think this is, if you start in verse 1, actually, or chapter 1, verse 17, it says, I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. So all this pursuit of wisdom, all of these things that we're trying to ascertain, all these people with letters after the name, all the stuff that they're after, all this stuff, he's saying, man, it's just like chasing the wind. There is really nothing good involved in that, okay? Time out real quick. It doesn't mean it's bad to learn, okay? This is not what this means. It doesn't mean that knowledge is bad. But if my pursuit is knowledge so that I can put myself in lordship of my life, that is wrong, okay? So I'm going to read here in chapter 2. It says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself, but behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure. What use is it? I searched my heart, how to cheer my body with wine, and my heart with guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. That last part right there really struck me when I was reading that. Because he's talking about all these things he was after, right? He looked for cheer through alcohol, right? He tried to find stuff in his life. And if you keep going, he talks about planting fields and ask, getting money and having wealth and having good. And he's chasing all these things. And it says, of the man to do under heaven during the few days of his life. We're here on this earth for just a moment. We're here for just a moment. But the few days of our life we spend, and not just us in this room, but everybody on this planet is trying to fulfill this knowledge and this wisdom inside of themselves. They're chasing things. They're chasing people of the opposite sex, right? They're chasing money. They're chasing their career. They're chasing knowledge. They're chasing all these things. And have you ever heard people like on their deathbed, and they're like, man, that really wasn't worth it. All of that was useless. None of that really mattered. I've got all the money in the world. I've got all the stuff in the world. I've got more letters after my name than anybody else. And none of that really filled me up at all. Have you ever heard anybody say things like that? I've heard people say that who are living it right now. Who right now are living and they say, I've made a ton of money. I've done all these things. I've done this. I've done that. I've done that. But you know what? That wasn't good enough. I'm going to keep searching to serve myself. Because we put ourselves in this lordship position. We put ourselves in the place of God and we say, I know better than you. I'm going to live my life the way that I want to. I'm back in James. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. How many people do you see in this world that are full of jealousy and anger and frustration and all these things, and it's all in a pursuit to fill themselves with something that they can never fill themselves with? So I'm going to... There's a guy that plays a sport that is really skilled at this sport, super skilled. This guy that is incredibly skilled at this sport cannot handle when somebody tweets something that says something negative about him. Can't handle it. Can't live his life without hearing like what my 9-year-old daughter tweets about him, right? My 9-year-old daughter doesn't have Twitter, but... Right, let's, like, people who have made it to the pinnacle of careers cannot handle when somebody else is saying something about that. And why, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, does that not describe our culture to the nth degree? We are all self-seeking. We are all self-serving. We are all after what we want. Says, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Is that the category we want to live in? Is that the category we want to live our life in? If you keep reading in Ecclesiastes, he says, so I became great and I surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. For my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Everything I wanted, I got. I worked hard and I got it. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil that I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. It doesn't matter how hard we work for it. It doesn't matter how many letters we get after our name. It doesn't matter the things that we understand. It doesn't matter the growth in our life. But all of that stuff, all of that knowledge, all of that wisdom that we think we are gaining is really pointless if we don't subject ourselves to the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter. None of that other stuff matters. It doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter your job, it doesn't matter your career. None of that matters if you cannot subject yourself to the foot of the cross. All of that is worthless. Anything that you can obtain in this world on your own is junk. It's junk without a subjection to the foot of the cross. Why? Where does wisdom come from? Where does Scripture say wisdom comes from? From Jesus. Wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. That our beginning, our understanding, everything that we need in life, if we want to gain wisdom, if we want to gain understanding, then it starts with a fear of the Lord. What does that mean? That means He is greater than I am. That means that His ways are wiser than my ways. That means everything in this world is underneath His control, and I am underneath Him. I am in this world. So if I cannot subject myself to Him, if I cannot see Him as God, if I cannot put myself below Him, then I'm never really going to understand what wisdom looks like. Then I'm going to be seeking my desires. I'm going to be self-seeking what I want. I'm going to be putting myself in lordship over my life. And if I am the Lord of my life, then I'm lost as everybody, right? Because when I'm the Lord of my life, all I want is what makes me happy, what fulfills me, what makes me tick, right? What gets me going in life, right? So I'm going to be a selfish husband. I want to be a selfish father. I'm going to be a selfish employer. I'm going to be a selfish employee. I want to be a selfish student, because what I want matters more than anybody else in this room. And when my needs are first, I'm doing it wrong. So we're talking in James, and we're walking through faith without works, and we're talking about what does it look like, and if I'm who is wise and understanding among you, by his good conduct let him show his works. What is James saying? What is he telling us to do? You think you're wise? Show me. You think you have the knowledge of God? Show me. Show me by your life. What does your life look like? And the beginning of that is so stinking humbling, because there's no other way to read that other than, if you think this is who you are, show me. Show me the proof by your actions. Show me the proof by the way that you talk to people. Show me the proof by the things that you strive for. Show me the proof by the way that you teach your children. Show me the truth by the way you speak to your spouse. Show me the truth by all areas of your life. Show me how wise you are, right? Has anybody ever been in a weird position where you needed some advice from somebody? Anybody? Me, Chris, and Earl? Okay, good. All right, just us three. When we need advice, who do we go to? Who are the people that we seek after? Where do we go? Well, first of all, it should start at the foot of the cross, right? If I need wisdom, I should start by professing my needs to God, right? Like, this is what I need. God, teach me. Tell me, who do I go to? Who do I understand? And if I'm not going to somebody who is also a believer, then I'm doing it wrong. If I'm not going to somebody who has a true understanding of what wisdom looks like, then I'm never going to get the answer that I need. I'm never going to get the answer that I need. If all that the people I'm talking to, and this is going to be most people, it's going to be all people in the world, not most, every person in this world that's not a believer is going to give you advice that is self-seeking. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Does anybody ever see anybody being selfish in this world? Has anybody ever seen that? We all want the best for ourselves. I'm going to tell y'all a story. This is a terrible story, and I don't think I've ever shared this with anybody, but I'm going to share it today. This is a terrible story. So, hang on. Wow, I can't believe that just hit me. This memory came to mind. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist. So I'm in like fifth grade, right? I'm racing a guy on the playground. And he was a friend. He was a buddy of mine. I'm racing him, and I realize I'm going to get beat. Okay? This is terrible. I am a terrible person. I'm racing him on the playground, and they were doing construction on the playground, and there was orange construction fence and T-posts everywhere, right? And we're racing, and we get to the corner to go up towards where we had to go to, and I shoved him into the fence because I was selfish, because I wanted to win, right? because my own ambition mattered more than the safety or the thought of my friend. I cannot believe I just shared that story. Wow. I'm sorry, Marcus. I'm sorry. Wow. My desires matter more than anybody else. What I want matters more than anybody else. Right? That's how people live their lives. We will push anybody down. We will talk mean to somebody. We will be terrible to people. And this, there will be disorder in every vile practice among you. How terrible is that? That's terrible. But that's the way we live our lives. That's the way this world lives its life. We live for our desire. We live for what we want because we are more important than anybody else. Because what I want is more important than you. I don't care about you. I care about myself. That is what the world says is truth. That is what the world says is most important. As long as I win, it doesn't matter what happens to you. But what God says and what God did for us, man, it's too much. It's too much to even understand or comprehend that I matter so much to Him that He died on the cross for me. His wisdom and His meekness was lived out in a way that is humbling to those who will see. Humbling to those that He calls out. And if you read, that story. I'm so sorry. If you read at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If all of my accolades and all of the letters behind my name and everything I do in this world is for myself, I'm doing it wrong. The wisdom of the Lord starts with a humbling of myself at the foot of the cross and knowing that Jesus is who He says He was. And if we're in this place, if we're going to change, if we're going to look different, if we're going to do anything different, it should start with us acknowledging that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wisdom begins at that understanding. And we're here today, and that is the thing that we should be proclaiming to the world. This is the thing that we should be standing up for. I promise you, if I walk out of this room today and I'm racing somebody tomorrow, I'm not going to shove them into the fence. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because that's wrong. But that's how we live our life. And we've got to go out into this world and we've got to proclaim the truth of who Jesus is. We've got to proclaim the truth of where wisdom comes from. We can read all through Proverbs and all through Job, and we see this understanding of what wisdom looks like. And wisdom does not look anything like what this world looks like. It is different than this world. So we're here, and what does that mean for me? What is it? What do I do with that? If you don't know Jesus, then I think He's calling out for you. I think He's calling out. And this is what is true for us in this room that say we're believers in God. We have got to be the voice that speaks that truth to this dark world. So I'm really feeling humbled right now. I thank you for bringing that story up to my mind, I guess, Jesus. I'm really kind of torn apart right now in my heart, because I think if we really get introspective, we will see that a lot of the time we put ourselves in that lordship position. We put ourselves as the one in charge. And we need to break ourselves of that. How do we do that? How do we do that? It starts at the foot of the cross. It starts with Jesus. And if we can acknowledge Him and ask Him, He can change our lives. He will change the desires and the passions of my heart. So I'm going to pray in just a moment. And man, I really feel terrible right now. I really do. But I'm going to pray, and I hope you will pray for your life, that God will bring to mind the things in your heart that are wrong, that are just awful. And I this was not a part of my passage at all today. But I hope that you can feel that in your life. And know, because we all are that. We all are that. And I ask that we would come and we would pray and that we would ask God to change us. And next week we're going to look at the more spiritual side of wisdom and what that wisdom should really look like in our lives. But today we're focusing on our own desire of wisdom, and it's wrong. So I'm going to pray, and I ask that if you don't know Jesus, I ask that you would come forward, and today would be the day. I'm going to ask that if you feel tension in your heart for the way you've been living, come pray. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to admit some terrible story like I just did. But come pray and ask God to change you. This is the place that we do that. This is the body of believers that we push and prod and poke to be more like Jesus. So I'm gonna pray. I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me. God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for what you are. I thank you for what you've done for us. Even when we put ourselves in your place. God, even when we think we're better than you, even when we think we know more than you, God, I pray that you would continue to tear down that wall in our hearts. That you would continue to tear down our own selfish desire. God, I pray that all of the things of this world that we chase, that we run after, the people that we put, God, I pray that you would strip that away from us. God, make us more like you. Take away the junk in our hearts that make us want to be self-seeking and self-serving. God, make us look more like you. We need that in this world, God, not for our sake, but for your kingdom's sake. God, use us to be difference makers. Send us into this world so that people can see you and not see us. God, may we be a voice of reason to the men and women that are around in our lives. May we be kind in the way that we speak to them, but may we be able to speak truth to them that selfish desires and selfish ambition and goal, it's all fleeting. It's all vanity, God, but only you offer true peace, and only you offer hope. Only you offer the things that we're searching for in this brief moment on earth. God, change who we are. In your name we pray.